Clay, a very interesting conversation we're about to have. Normally, you ask the question, who is winning? But we're asking who is losing, because that's what we do on State of Play. Guess who's joining me today? The regular suspects are all absent today. Raymond is chilling somewhere in France. And as for Winston, he returned from a certain trip today, and so he isn't here right now. But let's have the conversation. So when I put the thing out about who is losing, I've had a few interesting comments on the subject that, you know, you don't ask who is losing, but this year's elections really is about, it's going to be about who is losing. It's the reason why you see that both parties are going very heavy in their strongholds, because if you get your people out in their numbers to vote, you are on your way to victory. And I was just looking at the NDC numbers in the voter region. It's really going to be about a battle of the strongholds, really. Anytime NDC had scored 80% and below, they tend to lose the national elections, the presidential elections. For them to win, they need to secure the highs of 90%+ to win. That's quite significant in terms of the numbers that they must get. In the Ashanti region, a similar situation emerges with the MPP, where anytime they have anything below 75%, they tend to lose elections. So you need to get your people out voting. And if they don't, then you're losing. It comes down to your ability to get the people out, your own people who, of course, will come out and vote. And that is why you see Bamiya in the Ashanti region doing 15 days. And from what I understand, he's going to go there again before December 7th. That tells you how important the Ashanti region is for them. And if you know, the running mate who was chosen from the Ashanti region, primarily because of his ability to galvanize the base in the region, hasn't spent too much time there campaigning. Yeah. But from what I understand, he's going to go back there. He's going to go back there to campaign. That is a very interesting scenario. NDC needs more than 90% in the voter region to win the national elections. MPP needs more than 75% to win the national elections in the Ashanti region. It's the battle of the strongholds. The only time in the Fourth Republic that the MPP, NDC, lost the national elections, although they had 90%, they were just 90% on the mark, was in 2004. But once they crossed that 90% mark in the voter region, it's home and dry. So that's the story. Now, Gugu, so asking the question, who's losing? You need to look at what's happening in the strongholds
of these two parties.
I remember in 2016, I spent quite a bit of time in the voter region. And it was very clear to me at the time that the NDC is in trouble because of the apathy, the lack of enthusiasm among, you know, typical voltarians who would have voted. Yeah. They're not going to vote for the MPP, but they're not going to vote for NDC anyway. And that is sitting on a fence doesn't help you. I haven't spent too much time in the Ashanti region this time around. But if you watch what has been happening, the 15 days that Bamiya has spent there, and you notice the thing they did with former president
Kufuor. In fact, he spoke three. Some have said he was speaking to a specific base. Of course, not to denigrate people of Kumasi and say that they can't understand his language or not. But he was zooming in to speak to a people of a particular demography to sort of... And you look at even the persons around them. You had Mr. Dinkra from Kumasi, Luther King. I mean, very popular journalist in the Ashanti region. They brought him all the way to the former president's residence to come and sort of give that message. He was speaking to that. And I thought the vice president spending 15 days in a particular region is unprecedented in this particular election cycle.
And then from what I hear, he's going to go back.
He's going to go back. And we are barely 16 days. It will mean that he's going to spend
almost 20 days.
A big chunk of this part in the Ashanti region again. NPP knows what exactly will win them the election or what exactly will lose them the election. The statistic you put out there is stacked. NPP knows if it manages to get the numbers in the Ashanti region high in terms of voter turnout, and it gets 75% of that, they are cruising to victory. NPP is the only political party in Ghana that can win an election without winning most of the regions. It gets 75%, in the Ashanti region, they win the Eastern region and get a few regions on top. They are cruising. And I'm thinking that the concept of swing in this election may be really tested. As in Greater Accra, Central Region, Western Region, it is very possible that a political party like the NDC, for instance, will win these regions and may still not win the 2024 election.
I mean, they won Greater Accra.
In 2020, they didn't win the national election.
They didn't win elections. Yes. I mean, in the Central Region, they won parliamentary,
lost the presidential,
and they still lost elections.
Yes.
But if you go to the other swing regions that were split in the 2020 elections, so we have Westing that used to be swing. Now it's Westing and then Western North. MPP won Westing.
Yes.
NDC won Western North. The Western North still holds as a swing.
Yes.
Western region.
Yes.
Still holds as a swing. Western North, not so, because obviously NDC won and lost elections.
Mm.
If you go to Bono and Ahafo still remain swing. No, they were part of.
And they used to vote. I mean, if you look at the pattern, in 2016 they voted MPP. In 2020 they voted MPP. They didn't credence to that kind of idea.
So
that
Bono
where
East,
they go.
Yeah. NDC won Bono East in 2020. MPP won Bono and Ahafo,
yeah.
Right? And they won the elections. So those typical four regions that have been split, they are still part of the splits. Is still showing you the swing characteristics, as in the Ahafo and Bono.
Yes.
Bono East is not. Then you have Western Region. Western North isn't. But for the NDC, they also need to target the Ashanti region.
Yes, Evans, and in particular, if you look at the data, the NDC got more votes in the Ashanti region in 2020, and they got votes in the Volta region. So Volta region is their World Bank, but in terms of the numbers aren't that huge, like compared to, because if you look at the Volta region, John Mahama got 606,000 in 2020, and then got 652,000 in the Ashanti region. And in particular, if you look at the way the campaign has been going, the NDC have been pulling loads of resources to the Ashanti region. For the first time, I've seen Sami Jemfi and Dr. Atuforsen, the minority. At the time Parliament was even sitting, they went into the Ashanti region. Dr. Atuforsen had to be flying into Parliament and going back. Recently, you heard the allegations that have been made by Sami Jemfi about a certain high military officer and what they want to do in the Ashanti region. It tells you that they are focusing there. The last time, they said they wanted to get up to 1 million votes. They didn't get that. But they got more than half. If they got 652,000 votes in 2020, and they build up on that, and they get 800,000, then they can really be making the case that the other places that are going to win are just going to come up, add up to that, and give them a victory. And I'm sure they know that, and that is why they are spending that much resources there. They are even looking at winning more parliamentary seats in the Ashanti region, a place they've never gone beyond 4 seats. Some of those seats, very traditional ones that they've been winning, Asawase and other places. Even that place now, the MPP making quite a very strong showing with Manaf. So the NDC, for me, the fight is cut out for them. The principle has always been that the incumbent party loses the election and the opposition wins. I think it's the same principle going into this election. The MPP haven't had so much of the goodwill coming into the 2024 election, obviously because of the position of the economy and other issues. If you look at the Afrobarometer survey and a number of surveys that have come up, it is clear that the economy is going to be a big one. You look at Fitch, you look at EIU, all of them have predicted that the NDC may likely win this election.
Mm.
So it looks for me that this is the election to lose.
I want to stay in Ashanti region for a while longer. The NDC's target in Ashanti region this year is 32%.
Yeah.
They won 32% of the votes in Ashanti. They've never gone at 32% in Ashanti region before.
Mm.
If they even come close to that, let's say 29%, they'll win the election.
The last time they got 32%, they won in 1996.
Yeah.
That was an election the NPP boycotted the parliamentary, but they were on the presidential ticket. So it really lends credence to the point that you're building.
So the challenge they have is that the MPP knew very early that they had the problem of apathy in the Ashanti region.
Yeah.
And the people of Ashanti region made it very clear, very early. You remember what happened to Chairman Sambungu when he went to Swami. And the people pelted him with sachet water. And they drove him out of the constituency because they were not happy with the roads, infrastructure, etc. Now, because of those signals, the MPP, knowing this challenge, it gave them a certain affirmation and a validation of the belief that if you're selected running mate, it must certainly come from Ashanti region because that is where the challenge is going to be.
Yeah.
Because a year ago, a lot of people in Ashanti were disillusioned.
Yeah.
If you talk to our colleagues there, they're not happy with the road. They thought they've been abandoned. And they showed it. When Chairman Zabongsu, who is a preeminent poster boy for the party in Ashanti region, right? Who, in terms of the positions in government, of course, barring Alan Chemanting, who was left, but also his influence in parliament, his longevity and popularity.
Yeah.
If he was a target of citizen
anger.
Or residents' anger, then that tells you that it is very, very real. But because it happened early,
yeah.
If somebody was sleeping on the job in terms of, oh, Ashanti Region is going to tell us to vote for us again, they saw that the problem was very real,
yeah.
And so let's mobilize and deal with it. So what did the MPP do? The first thing they did is they started moving into the area, into the Ashanti Region generally, and pumping a lot of resources to fix the roads. Just check what the drip, you know, the
yeah.
policy is doing there in terms of the fixing the roads. They've had the Prempeh, the
International Airport
done there. And then you also now have a running mate. You remember the story around when they were adoring him, how they went to the
Otunfor
gave the subtle endorsement.
Yes.
Now you have the flag bearer himself spending 15 days there.
15 days.
You have J.A. Kufuor, former president, a true son of the land, who is now speaking directly to the people there. You now have, I understand. The president is also going to go there. You have Samira is also going to be deployed there. And Baumia will return
to the places before
the end.
Election.
Now, pay attention to the strategy. This week when we did a story of Kodeo pre-election environment, one of the things that they picked up is that the MPP, Baumia, is doing door-to-door. It was in that report.
Yeah.
Baumia is campaigning like an opposition leader in the Ashanti
region.
Going to people's homes and doing door-to-door. Traditionally, that sort of approach is the approach of the opposition party. In fact, the man who popularized it, and I was with him when he did it, was, may he so rest in perfect peace,
Atta Mills.
I was with him in Sukula. I was with him in Abosokai.
Yeah.
On the ground, doing that door-to-door. Before then, nobody had really done it the way he did it. Doing door-to-door and talking to people. What happened in 2008 elections? He won it. Although they limped over the line, but he won it.
Yeah.
Right? So when you see Baumia then doing door-to-door in Ashanti region, it tells you that they know
the challenge
there.
Yeah.
They know that if we do not take this like a do or die, this is a matter of life and death.
Yes.
We're going to lose elections.
Yes.
Now, the key question then becomes, will all this yield fruits to the point where it will galvanize a huge groundswell of enthusiasm among the traditional MPP voters in the Ashanti region for them to turn out and vote, right? Because if you show up and vote, you are guaranteed that overwhelming majority of them will be voting
for the MPP.
For MPP. And that is why that strategy for me is important. When I saw him doing that door-to-door, you definitely know that it is going to be tougher for the NDC to break into the 32 that they won. But then you have enough to combine that with the economic factors that are at play also.
Yes.
Because people definitely will look at their lives, right,
mm.
to cast the ballot. And if you go back to the Afrobarometer report, which you touched on, unemployment is affecting everybody. So 41% of the Ghanaians say unemployment is a big deal for them going to elections. You have infrastructure and roads, which is the point I'm just making, right? Which is a big deal. And the government seems to be responding to that infrastructure, You have health, you have education, well, of course, you have free SHS, which they're so drumming, up very strongly. Then you have management of the economy. Well, Baumia obviously has a challenge because he's an economic management team member.
Head.
If you put all these together, you have to balance this very carefully between all the, and of course, look, then you also have the Matopoku Prempeh factor. he's also going to be deployed there,
yeah.
right? In the final days of the campaign, he's going to go back there and rally. I get the sense that the NPP, knowing that that's where they lose or win elections,
yeah.
is throwing everything at it, right? In the final stages, because of course, what you do in the last few days matters more than what you've done before. I haven't seen too much of the
NDC
strategy in the Ashanti region to speak of. When, last week when I spoke to the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NDC, he disclosed that they're doing, that they want to do 32%. And then I also spoke to, not Ashanti Regional Secretary. We spoke to the Asawase MP,
Muntaka
Mubarak, stalwart, right, of the party in the region. He said they're targeting 32%. He didn't let us in too much on the strategy. But for the strategy, a lot of it you will see because...
It has to be physical.
But what happened, what was interesting though, is last week, JM was in Ashanti region twice.
Yes.
He was there to meet the pastors, the Ashanti regional clergy. Then he returned to also meet with the creative arts group in Ashanti region. It wasn't a dedicated, sustained campaign as in what
Dr. Balmia has been doing.
But it was still something.
Yeah.
And the timing was interesting. He did those two events.
The same time, Dr. Mahmoud Bamia was
also there.
In fact, part of the information we're picking was that as Dr. Mahmoud Bamia was there garnering the votes, garnering the enthusiasm of the NPP's base in that Ashanti region, John Dramani Mahama felt like this was an attempt to also go in there and pour some sand in the gallery of the NPP there, given how big Dr. Mahmoud Bamia is. And you've laid the point out clearly. The NPP knows that the odds are not looking good for them, generally, in terms of nationally. But for them to prop up their chances of having any chance in this election, the Ashanti region must turn up. They must turn up massively, and they must get at least 75% of that vote. The NDC is threatening that. They are seeking to get 32%. Eseorun Getia himself has gone to the Ashanti region for some time. It is there that he is alleged to have said that the NPP NDC will cancel free SHL. Of course, they'll come out and say that tape was doctored and all that. And so that message is going down in the Ashanti region. There's a lot of campaigning there. There's a lot of matters having to do with resources being moved there. Over the last few days since the flowerpot interchange was made, I've seen certain leading figures of the NPP in the Ashanti region who are not necessarily executive making points about the fact that the Swami interchange has delayed, the Sofala interchange and other things that the party has to do for them have all not been done. And so some of them have been raising those concerns. And some parties, stalwarts and supporters have been coming in out strong and saying that we have been working, we are doing, and in fact, no particular region has benefited in terms of government projects and resources than the Ashanti region. So the MPP knows that the battle is cut out for them. Again, and because they know that, they aren't focusing so much on other places like Volta region, for instance, where traditionally they will not do so well. They have one seat in the Volta region. The NDC is going out all gun blazing, trying to take that away from them. And the NDC is hoping that they can increase their vote. I've heard Sami Jemfi on another outlet say that part of the reason why persons in the Volta region didn't turn up as much was that in 2020, there were military men there. There were days at the time the government was fighting the secessionist issues. So they hope that they can turn up the votes in the Ashanti region and get close to 800,000. If they do get that, that pushes them. The NDC traditionally does well in the northern regions. They do well in the southern belt. In fact, in the eastern region, in the president's own hometown, the NDC got more than 30% in the last election. Mm-hmm. So these are places they do quite well. And given that they are riding with a tide, blowing with them, if they're able to manage to get all these things in these other places and manage to come close to 30% of the Ashanti region, it will clearly go to them. I've heard a lot of people say that this election is not going to go for a runoff. This is going to be a one-touch. The person who will win will perhaps win it bigly. I don't think that necessarily sounds like music in MPP's ears. Because given all that they've heard, given the polls and other things, they know that if they will win, they'll probably win it slim in terms of how the data we've seen from Global Info Analytics and all the other places. So MPP, for them, they know that the battle is cut for them. In Parliament, I've heard MPs who've said that they are going to throw everything at this election. Of course, they know that the odds are stacked against them, but they are going to throw out everything at the election and hope it sticks.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line, we come to the question of who is losing.
Yeah.
NDC, and if you listen to Asirun Getia himself, when the day they adored Jane,
yes,
was complaining about apathy.
Yeah.
Sorry, was complaining about complacency.
Complacency. People sharing positions.
Positions, etc. And I think that is the biggest danger
for the
NDC is facing. If you do the reverse, the MPP seem to have accepted,
yes,
that although they are incumbent, they are underdogs,
yes,
in the race. And that is influencing their strategy. To have an incumbent doing door-to-door, that, yeah, is an opposition candidate strategy.
I remember in the newsroom in 2020, we were even questioning the strategy of the campaign of Ekufuado at the time and saying that Mahama was campaigning aggressively. This time around, it has flipped. You know, Dr. Bawumia, since he hit the ground, there's been no resting.
And that, for me, is the biggest threat to NDC. Whereas the MPP, they know they also are against the economy, it's not strong, so they now have to do extraordinarily more campaigning and aggression on the ground to try and turn this over. That is where the threat for me is for the NDC. It is really the NDC's to lose.
Yes.
The MPP has acknowledged that. They know that because of the circumstances. But we should watch what is happening in the rural communities and not in the urban. The urban areas are going to be very difficult for the incumbent party. But what is happening out of the urban areas, in far-flung areas, where the masses really sit,
where messages like free SHS is going to resonate very well. Because if you have a kid and you're going to spend that much to send them to school and you're not getting... In Accra, people will be talking about fuel prices and other things. Those places...
Those are the areas where the battles will be fought and won. Yeah. Listen, we are just 16 days away. We'll learn more on December 7th. Enjoy the rest of your day.